T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Obviously, we're still reacting to game two there. The Cavs up 2-0. And might I say that I heard something today. I feel like me and Lima have been on the opposite sides of things. I'm really not trying to do that. I'm not trying to do the contrarian to the contrarian thing. That's not what I'm... But I just feel like, one, I vehemently disagree with his phrasing, or his framing about the series is over now. And we've talked about that. I think what we've learned is that the Magic are incredibly beatable, and now it's your job to finish off the series and beat them. So I vehemently disagree with that. His continued revisionist history on the Charlotte thing vexes me to no end. And then today, they had Danny Cunningham on of Cleveland Magazine. Of course, Danny, also of 92.3 The Fan, he's hosted on this show as well as The Morning Boys and at night. And in asking Danny a question about J.B. Bickerstaff, I thought Lima did the thing that Lima normally would point out is flawed logic, and I thought it was fascinating.
In the lead-up to this series, obviously, Cavs fans, and I was one of them, we were very nervous about J.B. Bickerstaff. Were we unfair? Because he, to me, has totally outcoached Jamal Mosley, who is a Coach of the Year candidate this year.
So, has he outcoached Jamal Mosley, or has he simply had the better team? Like, I feel like we want to have it both ways. Well, the Magic are trash. The Magic aren't good offensively. And also, look at how well J.B. Bickerstaff is outcoaching Jamal Mosley. Yeah, I think it's pretty easy to outcoach somebody when you have three guys that can score, like Mobley, Mitchell, and Garland, and you're 8 or 9, maybe 10 deep, and the other team really doesn't have an offense to speak of.
I mean, that team can't score a bucket,
yeah.
Nick. I mean, you watch stretches of these games, and it's just Brick City. It's actually really a tough game to watch at times.
Yeah, and even for the Cavs side of things, the Cavs still are a little tough to watch on any given possession.
Yeah, I mean, they go through stretches like five, 6 minutes where you're like, what the hell did I just watch?
Like in the fourth quarter. And so, like, and here's the thing. I'm not going to use this segment to just say that JB isn't doing a better job of Jamal Mosley. I just don't know this is the matchup that you're going to learn that JB is a better coach than anybody else. He has all the weapons. He has the best player in the series. To this point, he's had home court advantage. Like, the only way you're going to find out if JB can coach in this series is if the Cavs drop 2 in Orlando. If this thing comes back knotted at 2s, or if, let's say, you, at the end of the game, you get into a couple situations where he has to be the difference maker, that's when you're going to find out. But right now, it's 2 blowouts. It's 2 double-digit wins. Last night was a little bit closer, given how close, 9 points with like 2 minutes to go. But like, I don't know. I just think when you win, and I think we do this in all sports, right? Oh, they had a 10-win season. That's a good football coach. Oh, they've won 48 regular season playoff games. They're the 4 seed, and now they're up 2-0 on the Magic. Maybe JB is a better coach this year in these playoffs. Maybe you get into that Boston series against Joe Mazzulla and he blows you away. Maybe. What the hell are you taking? Like, the Cavs have just played hard. There have been a couple decisions about the kind of defense you play coming out of a timeout that I think are crucial. There have been a couple moments where You know, last night he called a play. You were actually up by double digits still, and he didn't like what he saw, and he called a timeout to get the team into a play. Now, I probably wouldn't have want, like, I would have liked to let him let that play out, but, like, that's a moment where I think fans said, you know what, he probably got us a bucket there because of how he used that timeout. So I'm not here to tell you, like, oh, he's been bad. There is one thing that I think he has not done well, and it's rotations. He gave Sam Merrill 5 minutes in game one. They went after Sam. He was not hitting his threes, and JB, we've not seen from Sam Merrill since. And listen, that makes sense. You're favoring playing good defense in this series. At the same point, though, George Yang, who was vital to the game one win and maintaining that distance so you had a comfortable win in game one, and I'll be honest with you, I think George Yang, I cannot believe I'm saying this, I think the minivan is in Paolo Banchero's head. Because Paolo's more of, I don't want to say he's more of a power guy, but he is. Like right now, how he wins in one-on-one matchups, in ISO matchups, against Yang is, or against Evan Mobley, is he powers them down into the post. And so they put Yang on him. Smart idea. He played 11 minutes last night. So that's a moment where, yeah, the shot's not falling for George. I don't care. If he's bottlenecking Paolo Banchero, that's as good as 20 points and three made three-pointers to me.
Yeah, it's a good point by you, because I did see last night, I noticed it, that Banchero was really struggling to get any, like, couldn't move, basically. Yeah. Like, was suffocating the defense that the Cavaliers provided.
And you could tell that specifically Yang is frustrating him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you watch late in that game when George went one-on-one with him, he just kept his shoulders open. He didn't kind of give him an angle, and Banchero couldn't push through him because George is stronger than Evan. So, like, that's a moment where it's like, all right, George Yang played 14 minutes, excuse me. Yeah, he went 0 for 4 from 3. But so this speaks to the bigger issue to me. One, when you have the better team, I don't know definitively you can tell that you're coaching circles around the other guy. Last year was the rare instance where I thought the Cavs had the better team talent-wise. The Knicks beat them. So my thinking was Tom Thibodeau outcoached your ass. And I can point to a couple minutes in those close games where that happened. These games haven't been close. So the two things I'm going to grade you on are, all right, what is your game management like in close games? All right, like, what helped you pull away last night was Donovan Mitchell decided, I'm going to drive to the cup. I don't know that's a coaching decision. I think Donovan on the court said, we just need buckets. It doesn't matter if they're two or three or whether they come with a free throw. So I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to expose them on the inside, especially after Wagner fouled out, and I'm just going to go to the cup. I don't know that that's JB going like, hey, Donovan, be Donovan Mitchell. I don't know that's a thing. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't have a close game to reference for him, and I do think he's got the more talented team. And I want to find out. Guys, this is not me saying definitively not a good coach. Like, I already have my opinions on JB. I want them to be disproven because, quite frankly, when you change coaches, you change things on your roster. This team is built to be a JB team. So I want JB to show me. But I think it's the lowest hanging fruit to say, well, you're up 2-0. Clearly, JB's out coaching Jamal Mosley.
It's easy to say that right now.
What counterpunch does Jamal Mosley have? Like, this is the same argument that people used to defend JB last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you're going to put Lamar Stevens out there? Now, my answer was the rotations with JB, it's not that he didn't go to them. He didn't go to them quick enough. And that's another thing, because you have the upper hand in the series. When you're the lesser team, or when you don't have home court advantage, or when your team isn't playing the better basketball, you need to cycle through changes as quick as you can. All right, I gave that lineup 2 minutes. It's not working. They countered, or maybe it was working, and then 30 seconds later, they countered. We've got to go ahead and counter back, right? Like, those kind of things, and they're very, very quick. That's my big question with JB. I don't know that we're going to get – I think you're going to see a better fight out of Orlando, maybe the best fight you've seen because you're going back home. Maybe get more from Franz Wagner. Maybe get more from the role players because they're at home. Who knows? Maybe 20,000 Orlandoans, Orlandians, whatever it is. Maybe they show up and it's a raucous environment and the Cavs maybe turtle a little bit. I don't know we're going to get the close game where we definitively say, that's how you win games. Good on UJB before we get to Boston. I do know the number one thing that has not happened yet, and I don't know that this is a criticism. I don't want, because again, I'm seen as the guy that wants to fire JB. I have very strong thoughts on JB. Right now, I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about, show me that you know how to win in the playoffs. That's not fire, don't fire. That is, show me, prove to me. Prove to me you learned from last year. And I would say, when you go to a guy for 5 minutes in game one, and the shots aren't falling, and so we don't see him again, and he's in witness protection, that's not an encouraging sign. Again, this is not about Sam Merrill. Because again,
I was getting texts about that last night too, by the way.
Like, you're playing seven guys 20 minutes or more on any given night, and maybe an eighth guy for like 14 minutes. The whole point of this is you got to keep everybody fresh. You're 11 deep. I mean, hell, I wouldn't hate if there's a game where you throw Craig Porter Jr. out there just for a three-minute stretch just to get him that exposure, as long as you think he's not going to be lost in the sauce. But you're 10, 11 deep. And right now you got about seven guys ready to go. You need to keep the other guys fresh. And I think this is going to naturally happen when you go to Orlando, but that's the big thing. Like, I get it. We want to just say JB's the guy. We want to feel good. We just want to feel good inside because, JB, it's a great story. If JB tends to be the coach that elevates this team in the playoffs, it'll be a great story. Considering how bad things looked last year, the narrative of JB would be very cool. But to say, well, you're up 2-0 with a team that is, I mean, limited isn't even fair to talk about Orlando. They don't have an offense. They don't have playmakers beyond Paolo Banchero who can get their own shot and get shots for other people. That to say that that you've outcoached, I don't know, maybe you've just out-talented them. 216-474-0092. Is JB Bickerstaff, in your opinion, out-coaching his counterpoint? I'm not definitively saying he's not. What I'm saying is I don't have definitive proof either way that JB is the quote-unquote best coach in this series. And by the way, just again, in deference to JB, I don't know I was ever going to know that in this series. Not in the positive. I think if Orlando had found a way to win these last two games, I think we would have had our answer on JB Bickerstaff, right? Because you've clearly been the better team, just talented team, more often than not. But man, I'm starting to see, it's not that he just hasn't been challenged rotationally where he has to go play a card that he hasn't had to play yet. And I think that's the tell. If they do get tested in this series, when he has to go to something he hasn't tried, that'll be the moment where we can really adjudicate whether JB is the guy, whether he's learned from last year. Maybe that's a better way to put it. Let's go with Bill. Bill, welcome to the show, Bill.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
This is kind of a wasted conversation. Like Lima, who cares what Lima thinks? There's an article in The Athletic about asking the players in the NBA. It just came out in the last 2 days. You guys can look it up. About who they think are the best coaches in the league.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
They actually referenced it yesterday.
Good, good. And so the fact if JB can beat Orlando means pretty much nothing in the sense that if you looked at the best coaches, he wasn't even mentioned. And there was like about 20 coaches or more that was mentioned on there. When they talked about coaches, they did not. And, of course, the coaches that you know that are the best, like Spoelstra and,
Pop.
The San Antonio, yeah. Pop. We know that. And so all of us, I mean, last year, halfway through the season, if you had any idea about how basketball is played, you know Bickerstaff was struggling in the fact of putting together a regular rotation, getting people in at the right time, developing of Mobley. And then we saw really what really was the final exam during the New York Knicks, and with the Knicks taking him apart, and he looked like he was lost. I mean, if you look at even the series right now, I don't even pay attention to the Cavs playing Orlando. It's almost like junior high. You want to see teams that really play. You know, you see New York against Philadelphia last night. Great game. Great game. Denver against the Lakers. Great game. We're not going to go anywhere with Bickerstaff. He's a good guy. They play okay. But you got to get yourself a big time coach to go to that next level, and we don't have it.
Bill, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much. All right. So one, a lot of people care what Anthony Lima have to say. That was
your thoughts in the afternoons.
Kind of a cheap shot at Lima.
I mean,
there.
They get pretty good ratings in the morning.
Yeah,
those guys,
the morning boys, So I will defend Lima on that. Lima and I just are on the opposite side of this. That's okay. Now, listen. I'm trying to keep an open mind on JB because in the end, everything I think about the final 20 games of the regular season doesn't matter if he coaches really well in these playoffs. Mm-hmm. I'm simply saying I don't think these two games are the ones that we're going to go to and be like, oh, yep, no more concerns. I think that conveniently fits the narrative that Lima's trying to spin, that people panicked at the end of the season and that those people were stupid. And, like, Lima's in the right and has been in the right since well before the Charlotte game, when he's constantly espoused the record is the only thing that matters, despite the fact that the final 20 games, they did not play very well. I will say, the thing that I really like that JB's done is, and this is in part because the team is committed to it, they focused on defense and just being the best defensive team in this series, and I think that's gone a long way in this series. I think that mentality is where it needs to be, because I think their defense informs their offense to some degree.
I think that's totally fair. I've been really impressed with the way that they play defense. The concern I have is, like, is it all great defense, Nick, or is it a combination of the fact that the Magic kind of stink offensively?
I think that's a great question. I mean, I think you see them clamp down. I mean, listen, I think, and this is, again, kudos to JB. This is where I will say, I think he's doing the things you have to do to take advantage of the Cavs' natural advantages. And I think the way they're defending it, which is they're slagging off Isaac, they're slagging off all these other guys, and they're allowing themselves to basically say, you make those three-pointers, we'll live with what happens. I think that's really smart. I don't know it's going to continue to work in Orlando. Again, home cooking hits different. We'll see if the Magic's offense gets tangibly better. Or at least can hit 30% of their threes. I think last night was their high in the series. It was 25.7% from three.
Big improvement.
But I kind of think, like, that's another thing. Like, there are opportunities. I think there's this misconception that in the playoffs you have to coach really tight. Meaning tight rotations, you know, be a little uptight. And I think from a speed perspective of your decisions, yes. The game is much faster. Despite the pace slowing down, because of the pressure involved on every possession, yeah, the game speeds up in the playoffs. So, like, from a decision standpoint, you need to make decisions twice as quick as you do when it's regular season basketball. I will say, I think the focus on defense for the first two games is the right move. I think you need to balance that now with you're going to need more out of your offense in at least one of these games. And that's where giving Sam Merrill more run, I think, would make sense. You look kind of even deeper into their bench. It might make sense to give somebody like Marcus Morris a little bit more run.
Dude, you have a man crush on him.
Well, there's the legitimate fact that he will slap anybody that gets in his way. But, like, yeah. No, because it is his ability as an offensive player. I know he's not the guy he was 5 years ago. I don't care about that. He's still a useful player. And I think if you're going to limit Niang on some possessions to 14 minutes, I mean, Marcus Morris is another guy that I'd like to see out on the perimeter. Maybe the perimeter is a little heavy-handed, but I'd like to see him on Banchero here and there. I'd sure as hell like to see him on Franz Wagner. The other Wagner, Mo Wagner. So, like, I think trying to see if you can jumpstart the offense, especially if Donovan and Darius are together. Because I don't think it was a coincidence. It felt like the offense stalled. After Darius's big, you know, the multiple three-pointers and everything else, it felt like once you came back with Donovan, Darius disappeared.
He sort of did. I don't know why that is, Nick. Is it because Donovan's so ball dominant? Do you think Darius takes a back seat?
I think
mentally?
I don't think Darius knows what to do. I think Darius freezes.
And that's, he's like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I think Darius's struggles have been over-explained this year. I think it's as simple as he was hurt and he's never caught his rhythm. Some of the turnover stuff, like, that's a dude struggling with his confidence, I think. And I do think inevitably it's going to be, now that I think there's something missing between the two of them, and I think it's on the court. I don't know it's off the court. I think you can tell Donovan seems to like Darius and vice versa, or at least not hate. Like, I don't know that this is like alpha on alpha kind of thing. Like sometimes has been the case with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum in Boston. But I think trying to get those two guys to continue to move the ball and not get, especially at the end of games, this is why to me the series isn't over. There's still things you have to work on before the end of this series that if you don't, it might snake up and bite you in the booty on one of these games.
Yeah.
If not two of these games. The Magic have their offensive deficiencies. They're one good game away from getting a little bit of momentum. You can't have that going on. This is where I think it becomes incumbent on JB. All right, you've got the upper hand. Your defense is playing well. Let's see how you travel. And whereas I didn't think you need to change a single darn thing from game one to game two, I think you better have four fresh ideas in case you need them for game three. And maybe you don't need them. Maybe those four ideas, and I'm talking about rotationally, like with Merrill, like with Craig Porter Jr., like with Marcus, like you need to say, we're going to go to this lineup if X happens. I think you are more likely to need those changes in game three.
I just hope that JB is not scared to make a decision or make a tough decision, I should say, which would mean making a change in the lineup or getting somebody some run. Like, why not?
Well, and I love that I don't know that I agree with the word scared, but I think it's fair. I think it's a timidity. I think he can be timid at points, and you cannot be timid in the playoffs.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.